oft associated with the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, even though the truth is that that famous Sifrei that the Ramban does quote in Parshas Achrei Mos, with the idea of mitzvos that are chovos haguf, like tefillin, or chovos hadar, like mezuzah. The only reason that we're knowing them in Chutz La'aretz, anybody happen to remember? Exactly right. That same idea is cited by Rashi in Parshas Ekev in the context of Kriyat Shema, so it's not that the Ramban was the only one to the idea, but I want to try to develop the Shitas HaRamban, where the Ramban does famously develop his position that there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So to do so, we just need to learn a little bit of the background and see some of the other points of view. And set up the view of the Ramban, and I'm going to try to make an argument. You're going to see from the title of this year that when it comes to the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, according to Shitas HaRamban, it's really a chovak fula. There's a chovas hayachid and a chovas hatzibur at the same time. And I toyed with actually titling this year chovak fula kfula, a dual obligation of chovas hayachid and chovas hatzibur, which is itself a double obligation, as I'll try to explain that they're really. There's a subdivision within the subdivision, or a dichotomy within the dichotomy, something like that, a Shtayim Shein Arba. So Ephraim, if you don't mind doing the honors, just starting us off. Okay, this is in the Psukim Parshas Maaseh. They're on the very boundary, the cusp of entry. Maskio sum, some element of Avodah Zarah. Maskio sum is often interpreted to be the houses of Avodah Zarah, so Tzalme Masecho sum would be the idolatry itself. The altars as well. Vishavtem ba. Okay, so Vehorashtem es aretz. So here you have these two expressions, Vehorashtem es kol yoshvei aretz, and then again, Vehorashtem es haaretz. If you just take a quick look down at the third source, Unklus understands these clauses, even though the first one is Vehorashtem es kol yoshvei haaretz, and the second is Vehorashtem es haaretz. Unklus says, Vetitrichon yas kol yasvei ara in both cases. So Unklus says both are referenced to defeating and annihilating the indigenous populations in the lands. Okay, so you could interpret that way, V'horashtem es kol yoshvei haaretz, and then Beis is sort of setting up a short version of V'horashtem es haaretz in Pasuk Nun Gimel. But if you just continuing on a few further Pesukim, Ephraim, we're going to see some other views. Okay, so this is going to be the way that you apportion the land. It's big machlokas in Baba Basra. What does it mean? L'rav tarbus nachlaso, v'la ma'ad tamidus nachlaso. What exactly does that mean? Did the tribes actually receive equal portions, or were they actually proportional to the population? Not our topic for now. And then the Torah says, and be forewarned. Thorns in your eyes and thistles in your sides. And if you don't get rid of them, and if you don't get rid of them, so then what I intended to do to them, namely to get rid of them, I will do to you. So let's just push ahead to Rashi for a second. The Rashi in Pasuk Nun Gimel, Vehorashtem es Haaretz. Again, the previous Pasuk was Vehorashtem es Yoshvei Haaretz. Okay, so Rashi says, Vehorashtem es Haaretz. Go ahead, Ephraim.
Az.
Tuchlu. Okay, very good. So how does Rashi basically understand Vehorashtem es Haaretz, and very similarly to whom? Yonatan Srego? So he says Vehorashtem es Haaretz basically means Vehorashtem es Yoshvei Haaretz. Exactly right. And who's that like, Akiva? Outstanding. Okay, very good. So the Svarno is sort of within this tradition as well. Yoni, fine. Looks like, I don't know, I just have this intuition. It'd be a good day for you to read a Svarno. Nice. Okay. Nice. Biur, you know, we're learning Psachem, you know. Kasher Tavaru. You know, the Baal HaMor would say, oh, it means you eat them. Okay. Bless you. Tich Meshuas Aretz. So the Svarno is just a little wrinkle sort of within the general approach of Rashi and Unklus. So Rashtam is Haaretz is certainly a reference to Rashtam is Yoshve Haaretz, the people of the land. Only then will you be successful in terms of doing what, Yoni? Exactly right. So he's saying that will set up, right, the next Psukim, etc. So the idea that the Svarno seems to be suggesting is that there's a difference here between, this is a little bit of a subtle point and I'm pushing you kind of hard, but he seems to say even if you do X but you don't do Y, you're not going to be able to pass it on to the next generation. Akiva? Exactly. So if you do Kibush Aretz, you generally establish sovereignty, but you don't get rid of the indigenous populations, then you're not going to lose Sizku Lahorisha Livnechem. So he's commenting on the Psukim, as I was alluding to before. Vayak Hasher Dimisi Lasos Lahem Eselachem. Ultimately, it's going to come back to bite you. Go ahead, Yoni, please. Exactly right. That so what the idea that Rashi's saying is, you know, you're not going to be able to stay there. What I like about the Svarno, and that's why I said it's really just a wrinkle on the tradition of Rashi and Unklus, is the Svarno says, okay, even if it lasts for a generation or two, the problem is going to be in the future. Maybe that's what Rashi's alluding to when he says, Losuchlu Liskayimba, it's really future-oriented. But I think it's a very... the Svarno is very much within the Shita, generally, of Unklus and Rashi, which is this idea of being mechalik, and Yoni, you'll see what I'm setting up in a second, being mechalik between Kibush Haaretz on the one hand, and on the other hand, Ve'arashtem es Yoshve Haaretz. Okay, so there is a conflicting tradition, though, in the Gemara and Masecha Sota Daf Lamed Daled, which seems to understand Ve'horashtem es Haaretz differently. Okay, Avi Cooper, go ahead. This is the Gemara Masecha Sota, Ve'horashtem es Haaretz, perhaps differently than Ve'horashtem es Yoshve Haaretz. So let's set it up. So when the Jewish people were in the Jordan River, literally in the middle, Osichem, a compound word, my osichem. Exactly right. So you and me all together. So When it comes to understanding, you know, this idea that you have to get rid of the indigenous population, the Gemara is very careful to quote which pasuk? Not Ve'horashtem es Haaretz, Yaakov, but excellent. Well done. Ve'horashtem es kol Yoshve Haaretz. Very well done, Yaakov. So, and basically the way that Yeshua sets it up is that it's a Tanai. If you don't do this, so then what's going to happen? All of the waters, this is obviously a Agadata, but the waters that are standing still in the Yarden right now will come and wash you out. Okay, so it's very noteworthy that this Gemara limits this discussion of defeating the people in the land to the Pasuk of Ve'horashtem es kol Yoshve Haaretz. But what about Ve'horashtem es Haaretz per se? Shmuel.
So if Kol Yoshve Haaretz is really a more expansive version of Kibush Haaretz, so why would the Torah say that one first and then kind of retract and take away that aspect in the following passage? Why wouldn't it have a lesser version of Kibush Haaretz first and then go ahead and say Kol Yoshve Haaretz?
You've earned yourself the Ramban. Man, earned the Ramban. He came by it honestly. Okay. So the Ramban was bothered by presumably the same exact problem. Go ahead, Shmuel.
So the Gemara is saying that the Torah is saying that you have to go ahead and
retract
V'lo yim asu benachlas Hashem. So what's the mitzvah? Good, right. Not to conquer the peoples there, but to continue to settle the land and not to turn their backs on Nachalas Hashem. And then the Ramban specifies. Right. The idea is Lalechas, to abandon Eretz Yisrael and to go elsewhere. So that will be in Aveira al Mitzvah Hashem and Vehorashtem. So far, you know, if you had to describe the Ramban to this point, you think he would be discussing a Chovas HaYachid or a Chovas HaTzibur? You think he's talking about each and every individual has this obligation? Or is he talking about something more national movement? Donnie? Excellent. Very good. Now, okay, Shmuel. Donnie, very well done. I completely agree. Moredes, that she's in active rebellion against her husband. Rotzala lo simbalo l'Eretz Yisrael, v'chein ha'ish. Okay, very good. And he says it's true, it comes up in other places, like in Sefer Dvarim, bo rishu es ha'aretz. Then he notes, abo rashi pirish v'rashta mis'aretz. Go ahead. Az. Okay, very good. So then he cites Rashi. He says, but I think I have the correct interpretation. And Shmuel, that's why I suspect the Ramban was, you know, highlighted to this, or alerted to this, rather, by the fact that there's a difference between saying V'horashtem is called Yoshe Aretz versus saying V'horashtem es Aretz. But now, Shmuel, just to push you a little bit here, if it started off as a Chovas HaTzibur, where is there evidence here, and I do believe there is evidence here, of a Chovas HaYachid? The Ramban understands the mitzvah isn't just about going beyond the conquest of the indigenous populations, but continuing to settle the land of Israel at the level of a Chovas HaTzibur, and not, you know, heading for Madagascar, or Birobidzhan, or Argentina, or any of the other places that were suggested, you know, Uganda, I guess, at the top of that list. So where do you see here a Chovas HaYachid? I mean, I do see one. Yehuda?
The Gemara
in Ksuvos, which deals with private individuals. And what is the Gemara there basically saying? That even though we're completely willing to preserve a marriage, you know, we're always looking to preserve marriages, and filo Hashem Agadol Nimchak Laso Shalom Ben Ish Leishto, if they have an irreconcilable dispute about whether or not to make Aliyah, the party that wants to make Aliyah, if it's the woman, she's allowed, you know, it's a legitimate grounds for divorce, she collects her ksuba. And if it's the man, he's allowed to divorce his wife who doesn't want to go with him, and he doesn't even have to pay the ksuba. So that would establish very clearly a Chovas HaYachid, and in fact says Aser Laseis Mimena, which is not talking about the Tzibur, but that's clearly talking about the Yachid. So just to put this, you know, in actual context, right? The Rambam, I could have quoted the Shulchan Aruch Chelik Evan Hoezer as well, but the Rambam Hilchos Ishos Perek Yud Gimel has this point precisely. Let me just put this Rambam in the ledger, and then Donnie will turn matters over to you. Tani, do you mind doing the honors in terms of the Rambam? Good, it's a little confusing. Minave hayafe lenave hara. Even if you're moving from a relatively nice neighborhood to a little more grimy. Right. It's an amazing thing, right, that, you know, Eretz Yisrael is such a maila that even if it comes at the expense of a Jewish neighborhood, even if it comes at the expense of a nice neighborhood, you can compel her, okay, or him, as the case may be. Amar ha'ish la'alo sa'aretz Yisrael. Amar ha'ish la'alo sa'vehu'ein ha'rotzah. And the same thing applies, I guess we could talk about this more, in Yom Yerushalayim, v'hu adin l'chol makom Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam paskins this aspect of the Chovas HaYachid, and, you know, to the point where we're really willing to, you know, break up a marriage over it, which is, you know, relatively shocking. But if the parties themselves just cannot reconcile this issue, we're going to say, okay, so the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which there are many people who somehow miss this in the Rambam, I think the Rambam relates to this mitzvah, but I think it's quite obvious that he does, and
All you have to do is take a look at Hilchos Melachim Perakei, you know, for a further expansion on this. But here's an instantiation of the level of a Chova Sayachad. So what the Ramban basically said, in terms of Vehorash to Mesaretz, is that there are two dinim. There's a Chova Satzibor, that the Tzibor should continue to settle the land of Israel, not head elsewhere, whether it's Eretz Shinar or any other place. And then there's Chovas HaYachid, which expresses itself in terms of individuals not being allowed to leave Israel. The Gemara says you can, of course, leave Israel for purposes of, let's say, getting married or to study Torah or for a business trip as long as you head back. And then questions of leaving during a famine. Remember the Ramban's own shita that Avram should have stuck it out, that was a failure of Emuna. So the Chovas HaYachid expresses itself both in terms of what you cannot do, that the Yachid should not turn away, and also in terms of going to Eretz Yisrael affirmatively, right, that it, we're even willing to say that a woman could be divorced over this and not to retain her rights to the ksuba. Interestingly, the Rama, when he discusses this halacha, he says this would only maintain if the husband actually stays there. But the husband goes for 2 years, and then let's say he heads back, so then he would owe her the ksuba, because it wasn't like he actually has to be mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which seems fair, right? If he's going to divorce her and not give her the ksuva and saying we're making aliyah, then after 2 years, he decides to head to Thailand, you know, that's not going to fly. He should have to give her the ksuba. Dr. Weber.
So two questions. One,
sure.
What's the difference between harashem and regular harashem?
Well, again, so Unkla says it's literally the one and the same. Rashi seems to say it's also the same. But the Ramban is saying Vorashtim is Kol Yoshvei Aretz is defeat the indigenous populations. Then Vorashtim is Aretz is to continue to settle that land and not to, let's say, head elsewhere and say, let's head over to Aqaba or, you know, better yet, Riyadh.
Okay. And in the Ramban, is there a
in the Ramban or the Ramban?
The Ramban.
Okay.
Is there a mitzvah to move to Yerushalayim?
Well, the idea is that you could theoretically compel your spouse to be Ola Lirushalayim, even from Eretz Yisrael. Hakol Malin Lirushalayim, Veina Kol Moridin. Yeah, it's a very fascinating thing. In other words, the analogy would be Eretz Yisrael is to Chutz Laretz as Yerushalayim is to Eretz Yisrael. Mutatis mutandis. Yeah. Tani.
According to the view of Rashi, do they still have to eradicate all the inhabitants of the land?
Right, so it seems like the pasuk is saying that Verashtem is kol yoshvei haaretz, and the Torah is like very clear, v'haya kasher dimisi lasos lahem eser lachem, right? That it, and if you don't do this in its entirety, there'll be l'sikim yinichem, l'sinim etzideichem, it's going to be a problem. And by the way, we know that they didn't, and we know that that was a problem. Meaning that the impact was eventually felt, in terms of impacting the Jewish people, so... Well, ultimately, you can make an argument that it was indirectly, right? It was the Gula Arayos Hashvichas Dam and the Avodah Zarah, you know, picked up from the neighbors. Okay, so the Ramban expands on this doctrine. So far, we have a chovah kfula. We have a double obligation. There's a chovah sayachin and there's a chovah satzibor. What I want to try to develop using another makor in the Ramban, this is the Ramban's actual hasaga on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, the famous mitzvah Dalet, which says this is the fourth mitzvah that the Rambam forgot. Mark will read it for us. I'm going to try to develop the idea that even within these layers, that the chovah sayachin and the chovah satzibor, that there's a kind of, as Avi, you hit exactly the right expression, shtayim shemar batuit. The Chovas HaYachid may have two dimensions, the Chovas HaTzibor may have two dimensions. The Chovas HaYachid, you already saw a little bit in terms of the Perish Al HaTorah, that there's two dimensions there, because one of them is Asr Latzes, and the other one is HaKol Malin, right? To go there and not to leave. Okay, but those are really like two sides of the same coin. I want to see if I could develop something a little bit more advanced than just that. Okay, so Mark, if you don't mind... Okay, very good. So the positive commandment is to la reshes haaretz, to inhabit the land, to settle the land, to inherit the land of the avos, right? Anytime you use language of Yerusha, there's got to be somebody who was Morish. So he references Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov here. And then he says something here, which again, I want to try to develop, and I know I'm reading it very, very precisely, but how else can one read a Ramban anyway? So I think that you're already seeing those two dinim on the level of Chovas HaTzibor. Yoni, what am I referring to? Where do you see the two dinim? So one of them is that he says, what can you not do? This mitzvah saseh means that you have to inherit it, and that means that you can't do either A...
Can't
leave it and say, okay, we're abandoning this place, and that's exactly what the Ramban spoke about in his Perash al Torah, but then, you know, and we'll let somebody else take care of it. And then I think there's another connotation. What's the second din, maybe? Akiva? Oh, okay. So we're gonna get there. I don't think we got there just yet. You're one paragraph ahead, Yaakov. That you have to develop it, right? You have to cultivate it. Where do I derive that idea from? Lishmama. Lishmama means that you could be there, and there are no other nations there. But if you're not advancing the land, desalination plants, and you know, I should show you guys this incredible video of these African tribes dancing. And saying, you know, like, thank God for the people of Israel. Maybe between periods, I'll bring it up for you again in the WhatsApp feed from an uncle of mine who recently made Aliyah. That Israeli solar panels are basically changing Africa. That by developing the land of Israel, right, that's part of the definition of the mitzvah. So that's what I mean by the chovas hatzibur having two elements to it. And it's, on the one hand, not doing something extreme, which is what the Ramban spoke about in his Perash al Torah, of actually abandoning the land as a nation, you know, heading for Madagascar or something, or even just being there, but leaving it uncultivated and undeveloped. Vehu amar lahem, Akiva, this is what you started to read. Go ahead, Akiva. Vehu rashtem esaretz v'yishavtem ba. V'isnachaltem esaretz. V'nichbal kazal yinin mitzvah zon v'komas acherim. Exactly. We know what the borders are. Go ahead. And what this means is that you can't even leave a single place here. So I guess the simple way to interpret this line in the Ramban is that, you know, you have to fill out all the borders. But I understand that perhaps there's a second dimension there of lo yanicho mimenu makom, that would align with which other expression? Exactly. That the idea is not just to, like, okay, we're surrendering this parcel of land, but we're not going to cultivate it to its fullest extent. Okay, back to you, Mark. You control the board. The Altishtabesh. This is what I was setting up in this forno. The difference between actually defeating the indigenous population and being Moorish the land. Ein hadavar kein. Niduim. Abala aretz. So the Ramban says these are two very different mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Hacharem Tachrimim is directed against the seven Canaanite nations, and frankly, it can be achieved even without actually killing them. We can strike deals with them, as he's about to discuss. Right? That's one thing. That's directed against the indigenous populations. The second mitzvah, what he thinks is the mitzvah of Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, has nothing to do with defeating the indigenous populations, right? Because you actually don't even have to kill the indigenous populations. What it means is, as he says, Aval Ha'aretz Lo Naniach Osa Biyadam V'lo Biyad Zulasam, that we have to exercise national sovereignty in every single generation over the full boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And again, I'd like to say, it's not just national sovereignty, but sovereignty that is sovereignty directed towards, like you have the expression of Yeshuvu Shalolam, of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the cultivation of the land, the development of the land. V'chein, and the Ramban proves it in the following way. Im barchu ha'umo sahemi p'neinu v'halchu lahem, kim amaram, tvarim rabba, girgashi pana v'halach lo, they headed for Africa. Afriki. Exactly, it's two different issues. Hacharem tachrimei means get rid of the indigenous population. You'd be like they're gagashi, they get rid of themselves. But that doesn't absolve us of the mitzvah of vehorashtem es haaretz. Akiva, you were waiting.
Oh, yeah. So what was the second reading we said?
That it either means that you have to, like, you know, fill out the boundaries and populate them. But I was saying, I think there's another dimension there of lo yanichu mimenu makom, is that even if you have people there, but they're not actively engaging it, that it could be lishmama as well. So it's what I'm trying to develop within the chovas hatzibur to dinim, not to abandon it on the one hand, and on the other hand, something far more ambitious, the requirement to develop it so that it's not lishmama or yanichu mimenu makom. Doctor.
The way that Ramban is formulating it, makes it seem like it's like agricultural cultivation, but what about like nowadays it's cultivation is measured in like corporations and diplomacy.
And GDP and innovation, 100% startup nation. I don't think the Ramban in any way should be limited to agrarian development. I think it's part of the Kiyum Daraisa, because Lishmama means underdeveloped.
So, like, this, the way you interpreted it made it sound like use all the land, so that kind of makes it sound like
I would say bring the land to its fullest fruition in the most expansive sense of the term. And I think this is going to lead to us to a very important conclusion. Professor?
Just on my opinion, is there any
between... I don't believe that any questions you have are minor.
I guess
at least they're not minor to me.
At least it's a tangent question.
Okay. That's fair. You have done that in the past. What's that? No. Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, that was a huge question. That was a question of national significance. Mark.
Wait, so when Ramban is developing, is it is that just for that generation?
Exactly. That's until you annihilate the seven Canaanite nations. Right, so then it's back to Arash to Misaretz. Right, exactly. And that's the way I understand it. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't mind. There you go. Exactly as he said in the Perish Al Torah. Eretz Shinar, they want to go to Iraq. Syria, not a very popular destination today. Nitztavinu b'chibusha. And now hear the critical part. Okay. Mimamara milchames Yoshua lechabesh tavin. Kol makom esher tidro chaf rachem bo lechem nisativ. So now the question is, Orish just be adam lechbosh chutz la'aretz ad shalich b'shu Eretz Yisrael. And only achar kach kol ha'makom asher tidro chaf raglechem. V'amru. Haleb. Torah Amra, Mishatech Shuarat Israel, Tirishayim Lechabish Chutz La'aretz, Vehulo Asachain, Hare Nitztavinu Bechibush Bekol Adoros. Right, this is the generation of David. That mitzvah of conquest of the land continues on in every single generation. So the idea is that David made a mistake in terms of going to a Milchemes Rishus and Aram Naraim and Aram Tsova before completing the conquest. As we know, there were still people in Eretz Israel proper. So this is a very fascinating idea that Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, once it's established within the geographic boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, as determined in Parshas Maaseh, then from that point on we're able to expand it and have it spill over the boundaries. Dr. Ross.
So if Amalek happened in and the aspect of taking over through force is really only the Shiva Amin, from the first Kedush Eretz of the time of Shiva. So when Bnei Israel, let's say, like in 1948, let's say, and then when we returned or at some later point in history,
right,
Bnei Israel, where there were foreign nations that
right.
were selling land, so and we overtook them. So
that would be part of the second mitzvah of the Horash to Mesar. It's according to the Ramban. And again, even according to the Rambam, that's still part of Milchames Mitzvah, because it's Ezra Sisrael Miyad Sar Shaba Alehem, is that we actually didn't attack them. To be fair, they attacked us, right? May 5th, and five Arab armies invading. V'omer Ani, this is just bringing it home.
bring in the closer, Mariano Sturm. We're just gonna. We don't want to. Yeah, you gotta say shutout innings. We don't want to, you know, burn you out. You'll end up on the DL with Syndergaard. Okay, so we'll turn it over to bring in. You know, had they not MRI the guy, right? It's bizarre. And the Rabban is a very elaborate explanation of what that means in Parsha Sacharimo. Shenemar ki girshuna yom yistapeach v'nachas Hashem limor leich avod alihim acharim. Right, he's going to get to them. Hazeh shenitz. So the Rabban is crystal clear that all of the personal obligations that he's describing now of mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael are actually part and parcel of this mitzvah, right? That the chovas hayachid is part of the mitzvah, the same mitzvah as the chovas atzibur. Up until now, you only saw the chovas atzibur dimensions, right? So then he says, a mitzvah shechamim mafligin ba diras Eretz Yisrael. Then he says, on a personal level, anybody who would leave is like an Oved Avodah Zarah. That's clearly relating to the chovas hayachid. For the Ramban, it's part of the same mitzvah intrinsically. Im kain, kol yachid mimenu, right? So there you have it. It's not me saying it's a chovas hayachid. You have the Ramban saying it's a chovas hayachid. Point is, before, the Ramban described what is clearly a chovas atzibur. So for the Ramban, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is the chovak fula, the yachid and tzibur. That we already saw in the Perish al Torah, so this is just confirming it. The chiddush I want to say is that even the chovas atzibur has two dimensions. Either not to abandon the land, but also to affirmatively cultivate it, velo nazva lishmama, velo yaniach mimenu makom. And I want to discuss the implications of that in just a moment. V'lashon Sifrei, Mati ben Charash, Chanani ben Achir, Rabbi Yeshua, Nasan, Shayyot in the Chutzlaretz, Vigil la Platia, they were on the border, Vizachoris Eretz Yisrael, very colorful description. Zakvu as a name, Zagu de Mosehen, Karu Big Dehem. So there's a kind of death taking place, they're crying, and they're tearing Kriya. Shamar Telasos, Amru. Exactly right. So that Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael is Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos Sheba Torah. Again, something that the Ramban has a very elaborate explanation of. So here you have it. So what I wanted to try to leave you with is just one, again, it may be exactly what the Ramban is saying, and that I don't get any credit for a Chiddush at all, but if the idea that the Chova Kfula is really Kfula, if it really is at least a Shnayim Shem Shalosh, because I don't know if the Chovas HaYachid is Kfula, other than to say that the Yachid has to be there and can't leave, so maybe it really is Shnayim Shem Arba. But in love of the Chovas HaTzibur, what we, I think, demonstrated pretty clearly, I hope, is that there are really two components. That on the one hand, you can't, nationally speaking, abandon the land and, you know, say, okay, we're going to accept the Uganda plan. I mean, so the Ramban is writing about this, and you think it's like totally theoretical, and then you realize numerous times throughout Jewish history this very issue came up. And then on the other hand, the idea lo nazva l'shmama, that it shouldn't be desolate, lo neniach mimenu makom, is the idea of affirmative cultivation. So if I'm correct, then I think the following remarkable idea emerges. Now, when I was a kid in grade school, my favorite things to do about Yom HaTzmo, they would distribute these little cards. In those days, you know, we didn't have our iPads and, smartphones, so we had to, these little cards were distributed to us. You got to plant a tree in Israel. And you could do it in honor of somebody or in memory of somebody. You had this on Tu B'Shvat, and you had this on Yom HaTzma'ut. And it was an amazing thing, you know. And here you are developing the land, and you're in third grade, and I don't know, you bring in $18 or something, and you're always imagining these Israeli guys in the Kova Temple. Then they go and they stick it in the ground. They said, Fridman filled out his card. Goes in the ground. It's a tree in Israel, you know. So once asked my mother if we could go and see it. So the idea, I think, is almost jumps off the page, the Ramban. That according to the Ramban, there may be a way, ironically, of achieving part, not all, the mitzvahs ish of Eretz Yisrael from outside of Eretz Yisrael. That is to say that collaboration in terms of development of the land, the level of not leaving it lishmama, to a certain degree, especially in a global economy, so that can be achieved via constructive collaboration. So even if somebody happens to reside, you know, in California or in Bergen County, but he or she is very deeply involved in the development of the land of Israel, right, through whichever means. It could be cultural, it could be economic, it could be technological, especially today, Israel, you know, technological. So that is a remarkable opportunity. And so I think it does emerge, according to the Ramban, that certainly one can't be Mekayim the mitzvah in the fullest extent, because the Chovas HaYachid would require one to absolutely live there and not to leave there. But nonetheless, there is an element of, I think, the Chovas HaTzibur, that is to say, the communal obligation never to abandon Israel and always to develop it to the fullest extent of its capacity, that can be done via collaboration, even at geographic distance. So I think that should be an inspiration to us. By no means am I discouraging people from being Mekayim, you know, mitzvah sisha v'aretzel shkula k'negichol mitzvah shabbatorah. And in no way am I minimizing the fact that both Rashi and Ramban cite the Medrash Halacha and the Sifrei, which indicates that even chovos haguf, like tefillin, in chutz laaretz are not the equivalent of those same chovos haguf in Eretz Yisrael. The Sifrei doesn't mean it's not a kiyum daraisa when you do tefillin in chutz laaretz. What the Sifrei means is that the kiyum daraisa of tefillin in chutz laaretz somehow lacks a component that it would have in Eretz Yisrael. I mentioned to some of you earlier this morning that Rav Huttner, if he was ever flying from chutz laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, and he already put on tefillin that day, he would put on tefillin again when he got to Eretz Yisrael, because he wasn't fully mekayim the mitzvah. So I'm not trying to diminish that, but what I am trying to say is for all of us here, even if we're not fully being Mekayim, or largely not being Mekayim, the Ramban's version of the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, let's not forget that there is part that we can do from here, which is lo nasva lishmama, and investment in Israeli technologies, and fostering the Israeli economy, or making sure that Israel has the wherewithal to defend itself, by political advocacy. I think these all fall under part of the mitzvah, right? If Israel wasn't able to defend itself, right, if you didn't have, you know, groups like AIPAC and NORPAC lobbying constantly on behalf of Israel, then there would be parts of Israel that very much would be shmama or worse. People would simply refuse to live in certain places. You think anybody would be living in certain areas if there wasn't Kippat Barzal, if there was an Iron Dome? And Iron Dome was an American-Israeli collaboration, period. Both in the technological level, is on the financial level. It was done through congressional support. $38 billion over 10 years, the QME, the Qualitative Military Edge. So I think that we have to be cognizant of this and do everything that we can, even from Richuk Makom, as it were, to continue to participate in the dimension of Mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, that dimension which is achievable from Chutz La'aretz, namely Shlo Nazo Lishmama, Shlo Yaniach Mimenu Makom, to make sure that the land is developed to the full extent of its capacity. And that vision of Parshas Ekev, and just to give me another 60 seconds, I'll be Lovel Mishalim, we talk about Eretz Asher Avaneh Barzel Meharet Tachtzov Nechoshes, the idea that this land is rich in very precious resources. And there are a lot of natural resources there. Avaneh Barzel, the iron that you can find there, and Nechoshes, the copper, but there's really so much more than that. And we're only beginning to scratch the surface of what's possible. Only a few years ago, the natural gas fields that were found in the Israeli territorial waters in the Mediterranean, and everything that can come out of that, the fact that Israel could end up being, not only as Rabbi Adler mentioned, the water supplier for the entire Middle East, but also the natural gas provider for the entire Middle East, is an astonishing thing. And again, that's all part and parcel of this mitzvah that you should think about in terms of your future. God willing, it's there, but even if it's here, to continue to participate in the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. So we'll hold it up there. We'll resume with Makom Shenahgu in just about 4 minutes' time.